What's up, guys, and welcome to yet another episode of the DIYpreneur. If you haven't joined my email list yet, go and do that. There's so much free value, free merch opportunities, and then not to mention, I give away $25 cash to a lucky subscriber every 10 days inside this email list. It also is a good way to connect with me more personally, so go join it. It would be so appreciated if you left a rating and review on my show. Please send those in to my site through email so that I can post them on my site, and then again, I connect with you a little more personally. For this episode, go and check out my Lone Tree Challenge that I posted on my YouTube channel. There's some pretty cool stuff that I do on there, and I encourage you to go and subscribe to my YouTube channel, watch all those challenges that I post for each interview that I do. Again, go subscribe and watch my Lone Tree Challenge for this special episode. Today, I'm going to sit down with Jameis O'Brien of Lone Tree. Now, Jameis, as you'll come to find out, is a chronic entrepreneur, and Lone Tree is just one of his many entrepreneurial ventures that he has built up and scaled. So without further ado, let's jump into that interview. Hi, Jameis. You ready to get ugly?
Yeah, let's do it.
Sweet. All right, so for this special episode, I'm actually a couple feet away from Jameis interviewing him at a newer restaurant, so I have this amazing opportunity to sit this close and connect with him. So, Jameis, the first question I have here for you is just quickly introduce yourself, explain a little bit about Lone Tree, and then why it's special to you and why it's special to your customers.
Yeah, that's great. So I'm Jameis O'Brien, 39 years old. I am a chronic entrepreneur. And I got started in college. I was going to go be a school teacher and a coach. And I took an entrepreneurship class. And here we are 15 years later, just in, got my fingers in everything. So that's kind of who I am. Lone Tree builds remote housing for oil and gas, mining, government companies that do projects in remote areas, like develop mines or power stations or things. And so we build the housing and then we service it as well. So we feed the people and clean the rooms. I've been doing that since 2008. We provide a great service for pretty substantial companies across the world, actually. So, yeah, that's Lone Tree.
So, Jameis, before you started Lone Tree, tell us a little bit about, like, a story. Tell us a story, maybe, if something that pushed you towards the path of entrepreneurship. It doesn't have to be an obstacle. Rather, an experience in your life that made you think more of an entrepreneur and eventually led you to the path of creating Lone Tree.
Yeah, so I mean, I was probably just like most college kids, get right out of high school, all of a sudden you realize the world's a really big place and you have no idea how you fit in it or where to go. And so I kind of followed traditional, you know, after post high school, and I got into college. Got into a little community college, and as I got into that, I just started exploring and taking classes just like everybody else, right? Nobody knows what their major's gonna be, what direction they're gonna go.
True.
And what happened was I took an entrepreneurship class, and it just lit a fire inside of me. And our class assignment was to try to make as much money you can by only spending a dollar. It was a cool assignment, but it really got my mind just spinning. And so I was currently working for a construction company. And so I decided all I could use was a dollar. So I just went and borrowed a bunch of equipment, asked for some side work. And then I just went to work doing what I was already doing for my employer. And 30 days later, I'd made like $7,000.
Wow.
And I'd worked full time for him, gone to school full time. And I remember being 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, wrapping up these little construction jobs just so I could win this class assignment. And so I won the assignment, and I decided that, you know, I was going to start my own business. So I started, I became a tile contractor. And that's where the fire began, and that's where the education really started.
So James, you said that you used that $1, you rented out that equipment from that construction company you were working with, and then with that $1, how did you, explain again how you, with that $1?
So the object, I think, I don't want to put words in the professor's mouth, but I think what the object was to try to teach you to be resourceful without spending any money.
Mm. It's crucial as an entrepreneur, it's so crucial.
So it pulled in networking and creativity and just hard work, and it just helped you think about how to make something happen with, if you don't have resources.
Well, James, the next question that I have here for you is once Lone Tree, you started Lone Tree, you were in the startup phase, tell us of a story then of an obstacle that you faced within this time.
Yeah, so maybe I'll just take you to the end of my tile career. So
sure.
As I become a tile contractor, the business had matured, and I think I'd hit the ceiling of what that business was. I couldn't make any more money. I really couldn't grow it. I was at max. And I was really interested just personally at finding a larger opportunity. And so I looked for probably 3 years while I was working at running this other business. I was looking for my next opportunity. And Lone Tree was actually started by a guy named John Hiskey out of Payson, Utah. And he started the business, and he had two businesses running at the same time. He was taking people on guided hunts, and then some of the people on the hunt said, hey, will you come set up this little camp for us? And so he did, and that became Lone Tree, that how it is today. And so it became too big for him, so he sold it. And I actually had a friend come to me and say, hey, let's buy this together. And so we bought the business together. And wow, there's lots of lessons. So the company,
explain one, like one just small.
The company was had about $550,000 in debt. And one of the things that this friend who bought the company said to me is, I'll give you half the company if you'll come help me run it. And so when someone gives you half of a company that's $550,000 in debt, you now become half
debt.
You own half the debt. And so that was a surprise to me. A lot of people ask me how I got into Lone Tree, and I just tell them it was a series of bad decisions, you know, one after the other after the other. And so just like anything, you can't let that discourage you. You just take it head on, and you just push through it. And so that's what we did.
Sweet. So James, you currently do run Lone Tree. When it finally got some traction and it saw some good revenue come in, solidified in the market, in this phase, just tell us of an obstacle that you faced or some ugliness within this phase, if you can.
Yeah, so one of the biggest challenges with Lone Tree is it's very cyclical, because we service customers that are mostly commodity based, and they go they boom and they bust.
Okay.
And so the first time we kind of got Lone Tree off the ground, you know, we went from $1 million in sales to $2 million to $5 million, and then the market collapsed, and we went from maybe having 40 to 50 employees to one.
Oh wow.
And then we waited for a couple years, and then this is just crazy, but then we all of a sudden the opportunities just came in the door again, and we went from one employee to 120 employees. And sure enough, a few years later, as hard as I tried to create some sustainable portion of the business, the bus cycle came in, and we went down to just a few employees. And actually, we're on our third rebuild right now. And it's, you know, it's like a roller coaster. And I just, that's one of the hardest things about our business is the market cycles.
Yeah, market cycle.
Yeah.
So, James, with those like booms and busts, I just want to know, like, when you said you had to use that $1 to really, you know, make more money from just that $1, what were you doing kind of in when you had to rebuild Lone Tree, what was something that you changed that really helped you, you know, get back up to 200 plus employees? Like, was there any resourcefulness there when you did that, or was it just kind of pure grit or just hard work? Like,
man, that's a tough question because there's so many things that come into play. I mean, you fight self-doubt. You wonder what the future holds. You wonder if you're doing the right thing. You wonder if you're working with the right people.
Sure.
I mean, there are just so many things that you have to fight for. And maybe that's it. Maybe you just get up every day and fight. You should never quit. Never give up. And I know people say that, but
it's true.
As an entrepreneur, you cannot let that. You can't. It'll bury you if you let it. And you'll go to work for somebody else. And that's okay too. You know, there's several ways to provide for a family, make a living, make sure, you know, build wealth. Entrepreneurship is a really challenging way. The odds are not good, actually. I've heard it's something like 1 in 10 make it to be a 5-year-old company. And then after that, the ones that succeed, like 1 in 10 again of the one that was successful, you know. And so it's a challenge to do that. But for me, it just fits who I am.
Yeah. So I actually had with another guest, he said with this next question, he brought up something that really makes me think about quitting, like with entrepreneurship. And most of the time, what I've heard, I'm a heavy podcast listener myself. Most of the time, these people are just, they don't ever quit. Like, they face so much stuff in their life and within their business. They just don't ever quit. They see it out to the end, and that's how they become successful. And I just want to know, is that something that you think has the most potential? If an aspiring entrepreneur said, I need to be successful, is it just that I don't quit? Is that the best thing that you think an aspiring entrepreneur should think about?
Yeah, that's a great question. I certainly think that there needs to be a high level of grit and drive. But I think there's more I would add to that. You got to have the right vision. You know, I think that's where a lot of the failures come, is people don't have the right vision, the right product, the right idea, the right business. And they can't see the pitfalls that would just make it really not viable.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because the roadblocks and things that make a business not viable usually aren't the product itself. They come from other areas in the business. Mm-hmm. So I'll give you one example in Lone Tree, one that we had to overcome. So we construct buildings, and we take care of people. We're hospitality.
Mm-hmm.
But when we went into these regions, it's a boom town, and there is no unemployment. And we hire people, but we pay the lowest wages. So one of the things that made it so challenging for us is we had a hard time hiring people. Yeah, even though people would pay us to build and pay us to service, we couldn't even get somebody to come work there because they could go make 3 times as much money somewhere else. And so for us, we had to solve that problem. And we did, but it took a lot of pain. So a lot of those roadblocks and things come from places that would surprise you in the business. Actually, HR, that was an HR issue, right? There's going to be accounting issues, cash flow issues, market issues, the trend, and there's so many things to think about. But.
Well, James, one of the last questions that I have here for you is, in one word, what is an attribute that you would tell an aspiring entrepreneur to master right now?
That's a great question. Optimism.
Optimism?
Yeah.
You want to explain a little bit why optimism?
Yeah. Not to the extreme, but entrepreneurship is full of people. You run into people who don't think you can. Your failure, sometimes you look in the mirror and the person who tells you you can't do it is looking right back at
you. So, yep.
You know, you're going to have family. And the grind of entrepreneurship, the you're not getting a consistent paycheck a lot of times. That person that you're living with, they'll depend on you and they'll look at you and say, hey, I'm not sure. And so you have to stay optimistic and positive about the future. But there is a level that's too far, right? you know, you have to be realist as well, but to be positive, that energy rubs off, right? So if you have a business and you're not optimistic, you're negative, that'll rub off to your employees, it'll rub off to your customers, it'll rub off to everybody. And so it's really a tricky balance to figure out. But
Well, Jameis, that's all I had for you today. Again, I just want to thank you for sharing some of your experiences. I know it's not easy, but I just want to thank you all for coming on the show.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
What's up, guys? I hope that you enjoyed my interview with Jameis today. I also hope that you enjoyed the new format that I put it in. It's just how everything worked out with me and him in this interview. But I want to encourage you guys to go and join my email list again. There's so much free value waiting for you there. You can do that on the DIYpreneur.com. Again, your ratings and reviews mean so, so much to this show and how it grows. If you could send those in to me through email so I can put them on my site, and again, I can connect with you a little more personally. I want you guys to go check out the Lone Tree Challenge that I posted. There's some really cool stuff that I do on that video. While you're there, just go ahead and subscribe to my channel, because I'm going to be posting so much more challenges based on the interviewees that I have on my show. With all that being said, I just want to thank Jameis again for coming out and being on my show and sharing some of his experiences growing as an entrepreneur. I know it's not easy. And I want to thank you guys for tuning in, and I will see you on the next episode.